Okay, welcome back. Here we are, hour number two, and it's hot over most of these formerly United States, and some areas are muggy, some areas are not. And as I said earlier, I do believe this is shaping up to be one hell of a wildfire season out west, especially. Although this can happen anywhere, as you well know. There is a lot going on in the world of vaccine, bioweapon administration and death. The new booster is due out in, I guess, about a month. We'll see what happens with that. For goodness sakes, obviously, stay away from anyone who's been boosted. Don't go near them for your own welfare and safety. And that's not an exaggerated statement at all. All right, let's bring her on now. The last rose of summer, the most beautiful half of this research team. By far, Erica Kahn.
Quite an introduction.
Yeah, that would cost me $5. I hope you liked
Oh,
it.
gosh, thank you, I guess.
And that's all right.
I'll try to live up to it.
You don't have to try. You're already there. Now, we are looking at something that should have been done 2.5 years ago if there had been a real intelligent approach to this bioweapon attack on humankind. And that is the autopsying of virtually anyone who is suspected, and this should be done through a database, of having been killed by these shots. Endless numbers of people. And as we know, it wasn't until about, what, 5 or 6 months ago when Dr. Arne Burkhardt began doing this in earnest in Germany, looking at deceased people who had taken these shots and finding horrific, horrific things. So now there's a new effort, I guess, by a consortium, a group, 2.5 years late, of doctors and scientists who want to autopsy people who have been murdered. I don't mind saying that because, in my view, that's exactly what happened. What do you know about this new group and this effort?
Well, this is a study that's going to take place in the U.S. I believe it's just the U.S. Rather large study. I believe seven cities. They are going to pool from seven cities and autopsy people that have died, autopsy them within 24 hours of their death from what is considered to be COVID and whatever diagnostic criteria they've set up to meet that
So it'll have
definition.
to say cause of death. COVID, the
Yes.
viral infection, COVID, no
As
mention
in,
at all of the shots.
apparently not. This is kind of geared towards people who are suffering from long COVID and eventually succumbing to it. The title of the project, the research project, is called RECOVER, which is an acronym for Researching COVID to Enhance Recovery. Autopsy Tissue Pathology Study Protocol, rationale, objectives, and design. So they're going to start actually autopsying people who have died from this so-called disease that has, I guess, kept us at the hands of tyranny for the last 3 years, and figure out how it's killing people, if it is killing people.
That's their position, if it's killing people.
Right. It'll be interesting. I haven't actually looked at this entire document. It's still a preprint, but it's rather large. The number of participating authors on this paper that are going to be collecting this data it's extensive. It's rather impressive. So,
That's all well and good, but you can't just step in and make this happen. You have all kinds of different levels of approval, permission, of you've got to get permission granted, state, county, local, the families. A lot of hurdles here. How are you going to find out, by the way? They're talking about apparently making laws to mandate this. So cause of death, COVID, will have to be reported to them. And then they will move to acquire the body and autopsy it within 24 hours. Those are noble goals, but think of the bureaucratic obstacles. There are going to
Well,
be a
I
lot of
would
them.
say, w we have a massive confounding variable right now in that if these numbers are true, 80% of the population has been injected.
Yep.
So
yep.
What are they really dying from?
I don't see it. I don't understand the mechanics of their proposal. I haven't read
it. No, it.
But it doesn't make sense.
I mean,
sense
why
me.
Now? It's, why, you know, after?
No, it's
after
not.
After the rollout of these injections?
I don't see it. I think it's nice to hear, but I honestly, how is this going to be implemented when you have a bureaucracy to fight and that bureaucracy is clearly pro-vax? Yeah, I don't know. Good luck.
Well, I think that what conclusions can you draw from it with people who have been injected and
exactly
now
right.
have most likely other viruses that have been reactivated as a result of this, as a result of the impairment in the immune system now? It's almost pointless. You won't be able to draw any conclusions from it pertaining to the SARS-CoV-2 virus, I would think, because of all these other possibilities.
Yes, if they were going to do this pragmatically, I think that they would basically want anybody who has been injected as an autopsy candidate. Take it from there. That would be the way I'd approach it. Not just people who have allegedly died from the virus.
Well, we did have that, that one autopsy they did in Germany of the older gentleman that had died of, I think, from the Pfizer shot. And they autopsied his body, and they found spike protein in just about every organ that they sampled. There were some that it was not so, it was either absent or not present in high amounts, which was somewhat surprising. But obviously the stuff had been disseminated and transfected many different organs and right. ultimately resulted in his death.
Anyone who's been injected should be a candidate for this effort. I don't know. If they're not specifying injected people, just people who have died, been killed by the virus per se, or any of its variants, whatever they may be, I think they're missing the boat.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me. Okay. There are a lot of people listening who know people who have been injected and then gotten pregnant and lost their babies. Lots of them. In fact, the Pfizer documents, there were almost 80,000 pages altogether that were released. They weren't supposed to be released for 75 years. Kind of tells you all you need to know right there. But there were something like 300 pregnant women who took the shots, and Pfizer admitted to what happened to a 30 of them, 10%, and it was not a good ending. And this was known by Pfizer. You should never be taking a vaccine if you're pregnant. You shouldn't be taking anything except organic food and plenty of fresh
yeah.
water. Let your body take care of itself. You don't need modern medical science or big pharma to help you with your pregnancy by injecting you with anything. So I'm going to play a short clip from Dr. Chris Shoemaker, Canadian doctor who's testifying before the National Citizens Inquiry about these kill shots. And he's very articulate. We played a little clip of him last time, and it was excellent. So we're going to talk now about women who are trying to have children. I saw a woman in the, where was it? In the bank? A pregnant woman. And I have not seen a pregnant woman in a long time.
Wow. Yeah, and it's becoming a rare thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't see strollers. I don't see
very few
mothers with, no? So you're saying the same lack of, the birth rate in the last 2 years has nosedived. And if any kind of reasonable statistics come out in the next 6 months, maybe when 2023 is finished, they're going to be staggering, if they're true, if they're accurate. getting accurate data out of the government is virtually futile at this point.
Mm.
They're going to lie.
Yeah.
They're not going to tell you the truth. So, all right, here's Dr. Shoemaker on pregnancy and reproduction and the bioweapon.
Pregnancy. The golden rule of pregnancy. Never use an unproven drug in pregnancy. And never vaccinate in pregnancy. Never. So,
and you've been
somehow never went away. Never went away during COVID. That golden rule was broken. The last people that should get new drugs, unproven drugs, or vaccines should be pregnant women and the fetus inside them. They should be 10, 15 years out if you've got a wonderful new vaccine to use. Polio would not have been given to pregnant mothers in the early days. Not a chance. And actually has been discouraged ever since. You don't vaccinate pregnant mothers. It's medical malpractice. Why have we allowed ourselves to do a medical malpractice, ostensibly recommending it? And what has been the result? What has been the result? Well, Pfizer knew the results just as things were rolling out. They did a post-marketing analysis. And in their post-marketing analysis, there was a specific, there was about 300 people, but they didn't tell you what happened to the other 270 or so. They didn't give the answer back, but they did give the answer for 29 pregnant mothers. And the 29 pregnant mothers that they gave the answer to, what happened to the pregnancy? And it's published. It's part of the 75,000 pages of Pfizer data. And the published data by Pfizer showed that of the 29 pregnancies that they were willing to say what the results were, and the others that they hid, 28 out of 29 lost the pregnancy. A horrific number. 97% of the fetuses were lost of those 29 that they were willing to tell us about. Of course, they weren't really willing to tell us about it because they thought that these data would be hidden for 75 years. But the truth, when Dr. Naomi Wolf and others got to the truth, is that this cache of dear families who lost the ability to have this child in a ratio like that, 97% in that group lost. The actual real-world data, the real-world data where it's really being spoken of and proven, hospital systems in Florida, hospital systems in other parts of the states that are being honest about it, show that 50 to 67% of pregnancies, while the woman has received the vaccine while pregnant, 50 to 67% of those pregnancies are lost, either early or late. Incredible numbers. Anyone in the obstetric units really knows the truth. They've seen stillbirth numbers that are obscene. They've seen early pregnancy losses, extra bleeding, spontaneous bleedings, and spontaneous abortion losses that have happened that are obscene numbers. And this is what happens when you break the golden rule of pregnancy. Do never break the golden rule of pregnancy. Do not vaccinate, and especially do not vaccinate with a toxic spike protein into a viable human who's only this big. A little viable human that's only this big, and nanoparticles take the toxic stuff across through the placenta and into the cord and into the baby and into the baby's brain. And the mother received the shot when the baby was 3 months old inside her body because society was telling her that's the way you can protect yourself. That's the way you can protect grandma. You just do it too. We were lied to. We were lied to. We didn't know if it was safe or not. We now know absolutely that it's not safe. And one of the biggest evidences that it's not safe was in this highly risked population, mothers and the children within them.
A couple questions. One, where did modern medical competence go with regard to this asinine injection? What kind of OBGYN or any GP, who's going to tell a mother to go ahead and get these shots? I don't understand that.
Where did the golden rule go,
as he just said? Where did the golden rule go? Why did they just walk away from it so easily?
It was stunning when I first saw that they were going to be recommending this for pregnant women. And they had that rather large Facebook group set up specifically for that, to encourage pregnant women to get these shots.
So I just want to make sure that
it was unbelievable. And they did. What was the number, 65% or so in the U.S. anyway, that were pregnant at the time and were convinced that they should take these things?
They killed a lot of babies.
No infanticide question.
Infanticide. There's no other word that's appropriate here. They knew what they were doing. Pfizer knew. If they had a 97% death rate of the unborn baby in their own data and didn't tell us and hid it for 75 years and all these babies were lost, that's mass murder. Come on, it's a holocaust of the unborn. That's what it is. They knew. And there'll be no accounting for it. Watch. No one's going to arrest Bonsell or Big Al. Not going to happen.
Right.
Or any of the other purveyors of these death shots. And I looked at that woman in the bank. Nice young mom, you know, I don't know how old, late 20s maybe. Nice couple. And she's pregnant. And you wonder. The first thing you think, I hope and pray she hasn't been injected. Because even if the baby is actually born, as we've said time and time again here, you have to wait 2-3 years to find out if that child is going to develop normally. You don't know.
No, you don't.
I had very ambivalent feelings about seeing that. I said, oh, happy. And then, oh, concerned. And then, oh, my. You know, what kind of a world is this child coming into? I guess if it comes in to the world safely. I don't know. It's not good. And you sent me that video the other day. Was that you that sent me, or somebody sent me a video of a artificial womb and a depiction of it was full of fluid and you could see the baby inside of it and some grinning, I don't know what it was. It was allegedly a female massaging this bag. It was on a table, and it was weird. It was a demonstration of some kind. I'll have to find it. I think it's in one of the Rents videos. I'll see if I can find it. By the way, if any of you have not seen those, a lot of them are really front-edge, cutting-edge commentaries. They're up on the right side of the homepage. Look for the banner. You'll see it. Okay, that's Chris Shoemaker. Let's go back and listen to a little bit more. He's got another short topic here. But I don't know how anybody who is being honest with themselves or anyone cannot look at this as being anything less than infanticide. How can they? I don't get it. Now with the release that Naomi Wolf highlighted, that Pfizer knew, 97%, 28 of 29 pregnancies terminated after the injection. Boom. How else do you look at it? Where's the outrage? Where is the outrage? Where are the people? Are they really just that subservient and obedient that they will not even question anything anymore? I get it that this was a national citizens inquiry in Canada. It's great that it's being talked about, but what's going to happen? It's kind of like this thing about, well, we're going to begin doing autopsies of people who have died from COVID-19, the virus, which a lot of people think doesn't exist anyway. Yes, it's just a little late.
The time to do it would have been, when it was first...
Before they were taking their first shots. That's when you do it.
Yeah, well, when it was first on the scene, and they were doing them in Italy, and then somebody put a stop to it.
Right. I don't know where the... I talk about competence. I don't know where the competence of the people has gone. It's as if the dumbing down, the educational spaying and neutering of the masses has been so completely successful that there's no more brain activity left in people in terms of actually trying to do something about this overt slaughter that's underway worldwide. And I still feel that there's a distinct possibility that we have lost 10% of the population in this country over the last 2.5 plus years, I don't think the average person is going to miss one out of 10 people in a 2.5 to 3 year period. They're not going to notice. And keep in mind that we've had 10 million invaders brought into this country and placed in the heartland of America in traditionally red states, red counties, red areas, and red districts. That's where they're placing these communist voting, leftist, fourth world. All right, I got to stop. Let's go back to Dr. Shoemaker. Another question is being asked of him. Let's see where we go.
That Pfizer would have submitted to the Food and Drug Administration in the United States to get their so-called emergency authorization, and that Pfizer didn't want that disclosed to the public. So there actually was a fight in court for it to become publicly available. When that's kind of your first clue, there's a problem. But now there's a team of doctors and scientists that I understand. I mean, it's thousands.
Yes.
Analyzing this data, and that's, so this is actually Pfizer's own data that they record. There's 300 females in pregnancy that get the shot,
yes.
But they don't report on 201 of those, or two, I'm sorry, 270,
yep.
81 of those, are they or 71, they only report on 29.
And those 29 were of the ratio of loss that I just described to you. Virtually, the vaccine functioned more efficiently as an abortogenic drug than RU82.
Okay. And then when you're talking about states like Florida, so this is government data reporting basically a stillbirth rate of 50 to 60% in mothers that are taking the vaccine during pregnancy.
I will say that that's, yes, government data and information from actual individual hospital boards and circumstances taken.
Do we trust government data saying, oh, it's really only 50 to 60%? It's not 97%. I hope nobody does. It's all a lie. This is all a terrible, terrible black satanic joke on what used to be normal America. It's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totality, yes.
Now, I believe we have your video up, so we're gonna try again.
All right, they have a video for Dr. Shoemaker here that he wanted included in his presentation. They've been having trouble. Let's see if it works. No, it's not going to work. That's the third time. They can't generate any audio for it, so the best laid plans of downloading and replay sometimes don't work, and they didn't. Anyhow, that's Dr. Chris Shoemaker on the issue of pregnancy, reproduction, and the horrific damages that these military biological weapons have done to humankind. And I don't know how a woman who loses a pregnancy like that can emotionally, psychologically handle it. I can't even imagine. And then when they start thinking about, well, I did get those shots, or shot, they've got to come to the point where they realize that maybe that choice was a fatal one. And that would be very difficult to live with as well. There are a lot of depressed people out there, aren't there? There must be.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
The psycho-emotional damage of this assault on humanity is, I think, something that has yet to be even talked about to any reasonable level of significance. It should be a big ticket issue. The emotional problems that people are having, the number of antidepressants that are being cranked out and pushed at people are through the roof, I'm told. I'm not privy to people who are doing that, but that's what I'm hearing. It's bad.
Well, the shots and then the effects of the virus mess with the neurotransmitters anyway.
And the spike, of course.
Yeah, yeah. There are severe alterations in the levels of serotonin in the brain because of the tryptophan dysregulation. And then dopamine is also dysregulated. And those are two neurotransmitters that you need to feel normal.
Well, how many reports? How many reports have we gotten from people saying that, well, my brother or my father or my mother or whatever, not the same anymore ever since getting the shot?
Right.
And usually the symptoms are mean, ornery, unhappy, confrontational, combative, argumentative. These are all negatives. There's nothing positive coming out of this,
right,
which is highly suggestive of the obvious, that the spike is going into the brain and doing microclotting damage, if not full-on clot formations, that are killing off parts of the brain. I don't know how else to look
at
it.
That's one possibility. But then again, as I said, you know, these neurotransmitters that actually have their origin in the gut, they're not being produced in the normal amounts. They're not being metabolized properly. And consequently,
right,
you're starved for these healthy neurotransmitters. You don't have these feel-good neurotransmitters, the ones that allow you to be motivated and have a positive outlook. I mean, depression and suicidal ideation is, I would say, very much on the increase right now.
I think it may be even common to one degree or another. Yeah, I had a story yesterday about suicidal ideation. I can't remember what it was now. Too much news. It's flowing by. All right, so let's go and try and get caught up with more of our stories from human beings who are actually the victims of this butchery, which is what it is. There's nothing clinical and intelligent about these shots. They have nothing to do with health or vaccinating anybody from anything. It's a joke, a deadly, bad, satanic joke. And when that, I remember that time when it was made known that the owner of the vaccine was not Pfizer, was not Moderna, wasn't AstraZeneca, J&J. The owner was the Pentagon. What are you supposed to think if you're still thinking?
Oh, they were trying to protect us.
And they didn't call it a vaccine, by the way, in the literature. They called it a countermeasure. That's what they called it. That's a military term. And yet people
are
still taking these shots.
The strict definition of a vaccine.
No, it's outside the whole boundary. It's on its own. Oh, man, are we in trouble. All right, what's going on with the EMT paramedic circus?
Oh, actually, it was offline today, so I didn't hear it at all. I don't know why it was offline.
Oh, you couldn't get it?
Nope.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder, that's they have to have dispatch. They can't go without it.
They could have been using an alternative bandwidth or something.
Another frequency. Yeah. Well, all right.
But it does happen periodically.
Okay. Let's go. What we do is, if you're new to the program, we try to pick up stories from people who have been negatively impacted or worse that are posted on various groups. And Erica monitors a number of groups. Probably one that we most closely watch is the group on shedding, because you're going to get a lot of very interesting input from people in that regard. I don't think we should mention. Should we mention where it is? I don't know. It's up to you.
Sure. Well, yeah, it's on Telegram under Vax, VAXS, shedding.
Okay.
So you can see what people are talking about and how they're addressing their issues. And there are a lot of issues pertaining to shedding. You know, there's marital discord. There's concern for children going to school and being shed on. The shedding has a ripple effect in terms of what it does to people psychologically and physically.
Okay, very good. All right. You have three in here on marital discord, which is a common theme even in the best of times.
Mm-hmm.
And these are not the best of times. So let's see. What do we have?
Do we have any left from Wednesday?
I'm sure we do. Yeah. We have a few iron issue stories.
Yeah, we can
get
those.
Go ahead. There's one. Iron infusions not working. Don't think we did. Oh, we did that one.
Did we do that one?
I think I remember you reading the...
No, actually,
breakdown.
It was probably a similar one. This is different, actually.
Okay.
I don't think we did
Go get it.
One.
Go ahead.
All right, well, so just as a prelude to this, iron or anemia is an issue with these people who have taken the injection, and that may be for a number of reasons. Typically, when this happens in this situation, it's an anemia of chronic inflammation. It's not really an iron deficiency, although it may be. I mean, if there's absorption problems, which we know there are because the spike protein acts as a hepcidin mimetic, meaning it does the same thing that the molecule hepcidin is a hormone and does in your body. And that is, it prevents the absorption of iron from the gastrointestinal tract, and it also keeps whatever iron you have in your body tucked away, locked away inside of cells, so that if there's pathogens around, they can't have the iron that they need in order to replicate. So it's a protective response. It's not intended to go on indefinitely. It's supposed to be a short-term method of curtailing a pathogen that's trying to replicate. The problem is when it goes on for a prolonged period of time, then you can't manufacture new red blood cells because you don't have enough iron. And it's likely that the spike protein is also interfering with the production of heme, which you need to carry iron in your red blood cells. So you're losing it at both ends. The body's sequestering it, and then when you go to make new iron, number one, you can't absorb it from the gastrointestinal tract, and number two, even if you do, when your body goes to make the heme and incorporate the iron, it can't. It's that synthesis of the heme is stuck, and it's an acquired porphyria. So in desperation, people are reaching for iron supplements and not having much luck with that. If anything, the iron just stays in the gut and causes abdominal pain. And in the worst case, it can contribute to colon cancer. Iron is known to be a driver of cancer. And then so when they can't absorb it, they start to ask for iron infusions, or maybe their doctor actually recommends these iron infusions so you can override that problem in the digestive tract. And typically, if this is an anemia of chronic inflammation, that doesn't work either, and that can make the whole thing much, much worse because the iron is toxic. It's being mismanaged, and
rudimentary breakdown in the whole system.
Iron has to be very carefully regulated, because if it's not on a protein and being managed, it will cause oxidative stress, which is a form of rusting or combustion. It will fry your organs and tissues.
It corrodes your tissues.
Period. Yes. Iron is known to drive aging. Excess iron. You need some. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't live without it. But dumping iron into a situation like this can have very, very dire consequences. And I think we're seeing a lot of that based on the number of newcomers in some of these anemia groups. And these people just don't understand why they're suddenly anemic and they're tired all the time, short of breath. They have joint pain. Gastrointestinal issues, they have hormonal issues, and these are all signs of, both anemia and iron overload. And if they're lucky, they'll find a doctor that can address the issue correctly. But a lot of doctors aren't trained in these issues of iron dysregulation.
Well, the whole issue of iron in the body is, I think, a mystery. Or a quasi-mystery to me.
It's a very complicated topic. It's not easily addressed. There's no pat response that's suitable for everybody.
So if they look at a blood panel and the iron levels are a little low, they'll say, well, you need more iron, when in fact that may not be the case.
It needs further investigation.
All right. And the iron group that you monitor is almost 100,000. It's huge. So
yeah,
there's a lot of talk about iron out there as being the problem. No, that's not the problem. That's a result of the problem. one of many.
Yes. This spike protein and this virus does a number on iron metabolism. I mean, basically, you don't have it where you need it. You know, you want it in your red blood cells, and you can't build the red blood cells because something's interfering with that process.
Right.
And then it's sequestering it in organs and tissues that are becoming starved of oxygen for other reasons. And it's really setting the stage for a lot of oxidative stress and degeneration.
Yeah, that's called aging also. All right, let's go to this first one here. There's several, and it would be July 12th?
Yep.
Now, that's infusions not working. So we haven't done that one, right?
I was looking at iron infusion problems.
I think we did both those first two.
I don't think so. I don't think we did iron infusion problems. I know we did the other one.
Okay, go to it.
All right, this is a woman. Well, ladies and gents, after 2 months of patiently awaiting my iron transfusion, I went today at 11 a.m., and I felt a little weird with the test bag they gave me. But I thought it was just my own iron issues acting up. Then it passed, and then I got the big dose of iron, and I had to stop because I started to get hot, and my chest felt tight, and I got really congested and just didn't feel right. And let's just say I wasted my time and everyone's time, and now I will go back for 5-minute in transfusions once a week for the next 5 weeks. The iron was called dextran. Also, the nurse told me I had the second lowest numbers of ferritin. I'm a 2, and another patient was 1. So I'm anemic and iron deficient. It's been a long 6 months, but I will not give up. Yeah. That's to have a ferritin number in the single digits is a concern, and there could be a few reasons for that. I'm not going to speculate because I'm not a iron specialist, but it may be a thyroid issue. Sometimes if you have low thyroid, you can't manufacture the ferritin that the iron needs to be put onto to put it into storage. That's one possibility.
It's just far too complicated for a GP. They have 200 different areas that they have to concern themselves with. They can't. They just can't absorb it. Maybe AI can help them someday. I don't know. This is too complex.
And so that you're looking at a very dangerous situation. If you cannot manufacture either transferrin, which is the short-term storage protein for iron, that's what it's carried around the body on in an active form, or ferritin, which is the storage form, then you've got free iron floating around the body, and that's probably why she had this reaction to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, all right. Okay, the
all
next
right,
one.
Uh-huh.
You want to jump to the next one?
Yeah.
Comments aren't much. All right. Hello, all. I'm in the UK, and I've recently found out I have very low iron levels, likely caused by my horrendous heavy periods. Apparently, iron levels at 8. I'm on iron pills, but I'm 10 days in and still absolutely exhausted to the core and feeling very low as a result. I think I may have endometriosis, and I'm waiting for another appointment to be investigated further. I'm sick of feeling like this. I used to be so fit and strong. I've lost all my mojo to do anything. Is this normal? And how long until these iron pills start to make me feel better? This is a little bit of my story in my field. Any advice or information would be amazing. Thank you. Now, here's the big question. How many shots has this person had? It's not asked. It's not discussed.
Yep.
So, we can guarantee
there's some sort of connection here, obviously, with these women and having this horrendous bleeding, just nonstop. And now the virus, and I don't know if this pertains to the spike protein of the virus, but the virus is known to interfere with something called heme oxygenase, which is an enzyme that you need when you break down hemoglobin. When the iron comes off of the heme, both of those are toxic. And so this heme oxygenase metabolizes this into other molecules, biliverdin, and then eventually bilirubin. But these components of the heme have got to be managed properly, or you end up with, well, bleeding issues for one, among other things. And in fact, mm-hmm. people that are born with a deficiency of heme oxygenase have a lot of these same symptoms. And they do die. They die from this oxidative stress. So there's some connection here with the iron and this heavy bleeding issue with women. How exactly, I don't know. But there is a tie-in here with the regulation of iron. And there is an estrogen-iron axis in the body. So there's potentially a feedback loop. So that can be managed. And if you think about it, I mean, the uterus is a very highly vascularized area with a very rich blood supply for obvious reasons. And if that's out of whack or off kilter, it's no surprise you're having problems like this.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's shift over to smells here. It's always a popular topic.
Okay.
There's three in the second batch. It's someone said, I went outside early this morning too, and I believe it was to water the plants or the shrubs. There's a response to that post, and it says, it's very hot here, and the shrubs in the neighbor's front yards are dying of thirst. So the day before yesterday, I went out several times with my little watering can and watered a few of them. I really didn't expect such a disgusting stench coming from the neighbor's house. There are a lot of tenants living there, but no window was open. The next day, I started bleeding. Only for a day, and now it's gone. In any case, what's going on here is no longer tolerable for me. Let's follow on. Go ahead.
I understand what you're saying. My neighbors have returned from their trip, and now I'm getting headaches and nosebleeds again when I wake up. This isn't fun at all. There is something in the air from these jabbers that is toxic. I'm glad your symptoms didn't last. The smell is terrible, and I don't know how they tolerate it. And first one replies to that. My next-door neighbors used to be in the yard much more often before the vax. It's become very quiet in my neighborhood.
Wow. Next comment to that. I'm still smelling vaxxed people 1 to 2 years after they have had their last shots. I don't think it leaves their bodies. Well, she's right. Smells kind of like a cleaning laundry detergent. It's the same smell on all the vaxxed. Some smell stronger than others, however. It's so sad. I do pray for these people. Another comment to that. It smells nothing like a cleaning detergent. It smells awful. I also think the COVID jab is just a cover story for all the dying swamp creatures out there. And that may have some truth to it as well. This whole panorama is so diverse. It's not getting any better. Okay, how about unjabbed consequences?
That's
July 14th. See those?
I think we've got one more on July 12th, bioweapon illness.
I missed it. Go ahead.
Wondering if anyone has these symptoms. I'm an unvaxxed nurse. All family and friends are vaxxed. I had what I would describe as radiation sickness in 2022, lost smell, taste, and hearing, and now I have bad tinnitus. A month ago, my blood pressure, which is usually kept fine, kept spiking and goes up and down all day. Shocking headache, anxiety, and today I had blood taken and was shocked to see it appeared thick and dark. I commented on it, and the nurse said it was a bit thick. I feel I've been poisoned in the last month and also very sensitive to EMF. I don't feel myself at all. 5G towers around me have just switched to 26 gigahertz from megahertz. I'm very sensitive to meds and heaps of things. I cannot do NAC as I have a sulfate sulfur allergy. Any advice would be appreciated.
Hmm.
Well, I would say he's still, or she, is still harboring the virus at some level. And no question that you know, these EMFs are contributing to it. Are they all to blame? No, it's probably a combination. Again, it's a blood destroyer.
And first and foremost, that should be always kept in mind. It assaults and destroys the blood. The blood flow also destroys the plumbing, your veins and arteries. We've gone into that for a long time and explained how that works. So it's not only a blood destroyer, it destroys your entire circulatory system over time, breaks it down.
Yeah, that
immediate
is that inflammation.
Microclotting
then,
at the capillary level. Go ahead.
It is largely, eventually, an autoimmune thing because of the spike protein sticking out of these cells and then being attacked. The body, as this Chris Shoemaker said, begins attacking whatever cell is producing or expressing the spike protein. And they found that just with the infection, the viral infection, not the vax, that the spike itself persists in some of the white blood cells for, oh, it was a long time. I want to say 18 months. It was a long time. And for as long as it's there, the body is going to be irritated by that, and the inflammation will keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And the immune attack continues. So you have all of these inflammatory markers just driving inflammation and driving oxidative stress, and then wearing out the body's antioxidant defenses, depleting the NAD that you need to make ATP and to repair your DNA. And starving the organs and tissues of oxygen because the damaged endothelium is not allowing for perfusion of oxygen.
No, it's
and
like
the red
it's
blood cells are
up.
May or may not be capable of carrying oxygen.
Or being created in the first place.
Maybe.
All right. Unjabbed consequences. See that?
Yep.
Okay. I'm just curious if any non-vaxxed women in this group have experienced any severe gynecological issues, including precancerous conditions or even cancer after being intimate with a vaxxed partner. I had a history of fibroids, non-cancerous tumors, I have managed for years until my partner got vaxxed. Since then, fibroids have doubled in size, and precancerous cells were detected in my uterus lining, ending up in a hysterectomy. If I look at it chronologically, I was fine for years prior to him being vaxxed. I would appreciate some responses, please. Thank you. Wishing you all good health. Onward.
My friend is a newlywed. Right after they got married, the groom got the jab. A week later, she was in the hospital hemorrhaging. Now she is sterile.
Duh.
There are other fish in the sea. Continuation of that. Someone asked, do they still have this issue? I mean, she's probably running low on shedding by now. Answer, she is infertile right now. And the so-called leukemia has a bad prognosis. It's not temporary infertility. In temporary leukemia, he screwed her. Think of it as someone bringing home HIV. If you believed HIV was real, would you still sleep with them? She's in and out of the hospital.
Well, okay. From what I have seen, writes another, it's possible to reverse the technology in the vaccine, and it's still early. I guess she means if it's still early. I don't know about that. This is very comforting to you. I became pregnant by an old flame who is vaxxed. I lost the baby, which is devastating. But I am worried about the man's genetic material, which will remain inside of me. Well, she should be. It's not a joke.
Yep.
All right, grab the last one here.
Okay.
It's kind of a long one.
I don't mean to jump into your conversation. I'm new to this channel, and your story jumped out to me and looks so familiar, and I can relate. My wife is a waitress. When she had to work three or more days in a row, her menstrual cycle would go crazy and with severe back pain. When she had three or more days off in a row, she would almost stop bleeding. We were thinking that she was going into menopause because it's just about the right time with her age. After 5 months of this nonstop menstrual activity, I convinced her to go to the hospital and see a doctor. She was diagnosed with cervical cancer. We are going into her fourth week of chemo and radiation treatment. I take her to every appointment. After about 2 weeks into this being around all the vaccinated population, I started getting thin mucus nose bleeding. I've been keeping a mild headache also that wakes me up at times. I'm trying to make sense of this. I found this channel by asking about shedding on another channel. So far, my study has been overwhelming and has led to more confusion. Neither myself nor my wife took this vaccine. We are pure blood, suffering from the vaccinated population side effects. Thank you for sharing your story and taking the time to read ours. Prayers for God's speed of answers and recovery.
See, there's another shedding story. A waitress around the vaxxed, well, 3 days in a row, and she paid for it. Here's one last one here. I've got to do this real quick. Anybody noticing the following? Number one, my wife and I are noticing a drastic increase in the rotten smell oozing out of every orifice of the kill shot it. Really disgusting. Seems everywhere now. Anybody else noticing an increase? This putrid smell is being smelled by pure bloods across the world. And a number in this group reported the KS. What is that?
Kill shot it.
The kill shot it. Know they smell like rotting flesh. So they're aware of it. Interesting. That's the contention here anyway. From what I gathered, it's the VOCs coming off of them. Number two, we have friends, and they both are purebloods. One of them stays mostly away from the kill-shotted. The other, for up until now, I guess that's now, really embraced them. She slowed down due to getting really sick around them. But this is a big, huge but. After probably 2 years of doing things with the kill-shotted, she has the same smell now escaping her body as those who are vaxxed. She could not take the vax as she has a medical condition. Scary, and we do not know how to bring this up as they are good friends we care about. This is crazy what we are living through. Any thoughts of others who have heard purebloods also now oozing the smell out of their pores, the same as the vaxxed? So that's a first that I've remembered hearing about smell coming from
I've heard other ones. I've heard of, and if you think about it, if you're getting dosed with spike, you get enough of it and you're going to have the same issues with clotting and destruction of the endothelium. And, you know, eventually you're going to have necrotic tissue, bowel, whatever, compromised liver function, compromised kidney function, all from this microclotting and destruction of the endothelium that comes about from the exposure to the spike.
All right, we are running late. We've got to go. Thank you for that, and I hope this information has been helpful to all of you. Share these programs, do your own research, and we'll be back Monday. Have a great weekend. You too.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Jeff. You too. Good night, everyone.
Right. We'll be right back with Hour 3 for you.